56, 57, 58, 59, 10 o'clock. Okay, time to get started. Well, it's good to have everybody here this morning. We are continuing our study of 1 John. But before we get started, let's have a what? But I heard you. You said it out loud. Let's have a word of prayer. Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day that you have given us and for the opportunity, Father, that we have to come together as a family to worship you, to sing praises unto you, and to learn more about your word. Pray, Father, that as I present the classes on 1 John and the issues that the first century church was facing with false teachers, just pray, Father, that I can bring it in such a way that we can apply it to our lives, Father, and that we can see that the love that Christ had for us as we study it today. Pray, Father, that you'll forgive us of our many sins. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Just real quickly, I just want to keep showing the outline to show where we are at and what we are looking at. We talked about the history of Jesus. We're talking about our certainty of salvation, okay? And we can be certain of our salvation, and that's what John was bringing across to the first century Christians in general, was that you can be certain of your salvation. And you can do it by walking in the light. Jesus is the light. And we know that by walking in his light. And right now we're in the middle of looking at how God is love. And that we can know the certainty of our salvation by abiding in God's love. Okay? And it goes from chapter 3 down to chapter 4, verse 21. And we are going to pick that up in chapter 4, verse 1. But they do that by abiding in God's love through good conduct, through good deeds, faith in Jesus as God, and no fear in love of the brethren. No fear of the brethren, but we love the brethren. Okay? And so we stopped last week in 1 John 4. I think I read just verse 1. But I'm just going to go back and reread that and go through. And again, this in my Bible is titled Love for God and One Another. Okay? Why do we need to have love for God? God loves us. Why do we need to love God? Yes? I'm sorry, Kat.
Because of who he is.
Because of who he is, Anna?
Okay, first off, we said we have to love God.
No, we don't. Right. Right.
Because he gave his son for our sins.
Right, and we're going to look at that in the scriptures, okay? Why do we need to love one another? Yes, Anna?
I see God as a gardener, if you will.
A gardener?
A gardener,
okay. 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 Right. Anna was saying that she sees God as a gardener with the Garden of Eden. He planted everything that was there and planted the humans there to take care of the garden. And he does the same with us. We've been planted and he's taking care of us and weeding out the bad ones as we're going to look at today. So, verse 1, Beloved, do not believe every spirit. What is John referring to here when he says the spirits?
Other teachings?
Teachings or teachers?
Teachers.
Whatever they're teaching, but the spirits would come through the teachers, okay? But test them. Test the spirits.
The Greek of that word says that it's a breath or a breeze, or by analogy or figuratively, I think we read this last week, a spirit, example, a human, the rational soul, or a vital principle, a mental disposition, and or superhuman, angel, demon, or divine, God, Christ, the Holy Spirit. So it also could be a vital principle or a mental disposition, you know, something that we should test and challenge if it's not a good principle, a biblical principle.
Okay. But he says to test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Okay? So we don't know when we are listening to ministers, elders, you know, teachers, whoever, what their background is, what their goal is. Okay? And remember what this is being written for, because they had all these Gnostic teachers coming in from Greece who were teaching false things. They were teaching that, you know, Jesus was not from God, because they believed, the Greeks believed, that good and evil could not exist. And so they said that God would not come down and take over a human, because humans are sinful, humans are bad. There's no way that good could take over a human body, because good and evil don't mix. And what they didn't understand was, yes, humans are bad, except Jesus. He did no wrong. There was no sin. So there was no bad, okay, in Jesus. So it wasn't, you know, good and evil mixing. Jesus was all good. And so that's the reason he's saying that you need to test the spirits. And we could put teachers, human, you know, any human in that as spirit. You need to test them and not just accept whatever it is that they're saying as being truth. And I've said that the whole time I've been up here. You know, that's the reason that I teach scripture after scripture after scripture, to show what it is the truth, what it is that God wants. Okay? Yes, sir. Yes. And we are all old enough here this morning to have seen a lot of false teachers, preachers through the years. Jim Jones had, I can't remember how many followers that they got run out of the U.S. and went down to South America somewhere. I don't remember exactly where. And, the comment about drinking the Kool-Aid, they practiced that. And then whenever he found out that a bunch of senators and all were coming down to examine and, you know, to investigate what was going on, they drank the Kool-Aid and it was all poison and killed the whole compound. You know, you've got Waco with David Koresh saying he was Jesus. Okay, he was another form of Jesus. And he had all of his own followers and compound down in Texas in Waco. And FBI came in there and they ended up setting the place on fire, the people inside, and burned the whole place down with everybody inside of it. They locked the doors and everything. That's not the kind of thing that God would do, is it? But you have these false teachers, these false prophets, these false spirits that were never tested. People believed them. because they said what they wanted to hear, and they ended up dying. I don't remember who was ahead of it, but Heaven's Gate, whenever Halley-Bopp Comet came through a few years back, you know, they had a compound down in California, and they all laid out in their beds and took poison and died so that they could ride the tail of the comet, you know, to heaven. And we laugh at it, but, you know, it happens. When we first moved here in the early, in 89-90, there was a lady over in Montana, called her name, she changed her name to Prophet. I have the big newspaper article about it, and convinced all these people to sell everything they had and give her the money. They built this huge underground compound over there. And, you know, and she said, well, the world's going to end on this date. Let's get in the compound, just get on underground. And it didn't happen. Oh, well, God came to us while we were underground and changed the date. You know, and that was the last you heard of them. You know, but these false teachers exist today. The same that it existed here. And John is saying, test the spirits. Test the people. Find out what is the truth and what is not.
All those examples you just mentioned, for anyone who is seeking truth, that's just real low-hanging fruit, obvious examples. It's like Satan standing in front of us dressed in a red suit holding a pitchfork.
Right. Yes.
So it doesn't have to be the obvious stuff like you're talking about. That's just obvious low-hanging fruit for those who seek truth. We need to be more leery about the things that are subtle and the things that creep in and the things that slowly draw people away, because it doesn't happen overnight. You know, somebody doesn't just come in and say, hey, we're gonna change things up here. We're going to change your doctrine. Happens over a slow time. Satan comes in and dressed as an angel, you know, and people slowly follow. You know, it's like rat poison, you know, it just slowly creeps in, and it might take 10 years or 20 years or something, but then it happens. And that's why those are the things we have to be really watchful about, is the things that people think, you know, it's more like the indifference of good people. When we see something, we don't say something. Don't speak up for truth, and we don't draw those lines, and we say, well, it's not that big a deal, well, okay, don't want to cause any problems, you know, and then we start going down a slippery slope, and then that's how Satan gradually gets us. So
right.
We need to be careful of those things even more than the obvious things, you know.
Right. Yeah, and it's the story of the frog. You put a frog in, a pot of cold water, he's going to sit there. And you turn the flame on, you know, if you put him in a pot of hot water, he's going to jump out. But if you put him in a pot of cold water, he's going to sit there, and you turn the flame on and slowly get that temperature going. He's just going to sit there and sit there until you know, a few minutes later, however long, you're going to end up with frog legs for lunch, you know, because he's not going to jump out of it. And that's how Satan works, is that slow, easy, slowly entering this, entering that, and where we accept it, and then it's too late. But there are those, you know, like the ones I mentioned, that were just flat outright wrong, but people were needing something in their life, and that's what they accepted and did these things. But again, it's all false teachers. It's all false spirits. Brent? 1 Thessalonians.
2 Thessalonians.
What was the verse?
2 Thessalonians.
Yeah,
2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9
2, 9 through 12, okay? I was just saying that for the...
That's a good scripture, but...
It is.
I wanted to raise this question.
Okay.
It says here that we're supposed to test the Spirit.
Yes.
Now, how is it we test the Spirit?
Good thing you asked. Verse 2. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. So John tells you how to do it. Okay? You're holding it in your hand. Yeah, you're holding it in your hand.
We have to take it from God's word.
Yes, we do.
If we ignore God's word, we're not testing the Spirit.
Right. And how do we know what the scriptures are saying?
Read it.
We read it. We study it. We read it and we study it.
And we love the truth.
And we love the truth and we know the truth and the truth shall set us free. Okay, but that's how we do it. You know, when we talk about, especially, you know, David Koresh, he said that he was Jesus Christ, you know? So you couldn't use this exact, you know, statement here, per se, but you could go by what the Bible says and what it teaches to what these individuals are teaching. What this religion is teaching, what this religion says is the truth. You know, when they start coming up with their own Bibles that contradict the Bible, what does that say? That it's false teachings. When you've got to change the truth to what you want it to say.
That's
okay.
Why you have to be careful with paraphrases.
Yes. Right. I mean, when you look at it, and again, I think it's the way the devil is working, turning that temperature up a little bit, you know, in the pot, is all the different type of versions that are out there. And I've been sharing them with you here recently that are getting farther and farther away from the truth and saying different things from what the true scriptures say. And because that's what people want. They don't, Jesus didn't say that. Oh, this is too strict. Oh, this isn't a loving God. Let's change it to where people accept it. And then they start, you know, believing in anything, you know, following anything, because it's more about their feelings and what they want it to say and what they want to do compared to what Scripture says and what we're supposed to do to please God. Not us.
Basically putting themselves above God.
Putting their own feelings above God. You know, I want to do this, but the scripture says I can't, so let's change the scripture to say, to be lenient, you know. And again, it's like I always say, you know, the objective versus the subjective, you know, objectively is what is it that God is saying? What is it that God wants? What is it that God wants me to do? Compared to subjectively, it's like what I want, what I feel. What I want to, you know, to do. And that's the reason we always need to look at the scriptures objectively and not subjectively. What is it that God wants, not is it, what is it that I want? Okay? You want to say something?
Me?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, I had cut you off.
I was just going to reiterate that.
Oh, okay. Right.
The only truth there is that all truths are set upon.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do that, you're putting yourself above God. You're making yourself God, deciding, okay, I don't like this, I'll raise this and do this.
Right. And a lot of these newer Bibles, you know, they're using the excuse of, well, we're trying to make it easier to understand.
Yeah.
Okay. And so then what they're doing is they're taking this statement and watering it down. Thou shalt not kill. well, you know, God is a loving God. That's not what he means. You just don't hurt somebody or whatever, you know, and the changing, and that was just an example that just popped into my head. But, you know, they change it to where it's softer and easier and politically correct, you know.
There's a modern message, a myth going out there that somehow you bring God into your life and everything's going to be peachy keen while you're alive. The Bible doesn't say anything about this life here being peachy keen. As a matter of fact, it says just the opposite. So there's this message to try to get people into the church, and you have all these numbers of people in the church, but you don't have them living in under the right pretenses. Numbers will show you, statistics will show you, man, that this message that's being preached now is watered down, fluff and stuff to get people into the church instead of preaching the real message that sin kills and the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
Yep.
Accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Bottom line. But the message out there, you can't get people into the church if you say your sin kills. Because if you do that, people, oh.
Well, hold that thought till the next hour. That's all I'm going to say.
Sorry.
All right. Verse 4. You are of God, little children. And he's not talking about age-wise little children. He's talking about spiritual-wise, okay, new into Christ. You have overcome them. Overcome what? The false teachers. Because he who is in you, God who is in you, is greater than he who is in the world. Who's he in the world?
False teachers.
False teachers? The devil. Okay. God is greater than the devil. They are of the world. The false teachers are of the world. Therefore, they speak as of the world. Okay? Who's ruler of the world? The devil. He's controlling everything here. And controlling these false teachers, doing his best to get more souls every day. And if he can do that by getting people to believe the watered-down scriptures, watered-down teachings, false teachings, then great. That's more souls. And it's all because of the world. Therefore, they speak of the world, and the world hears them, as we've talked about. The world hears them. The world wants this. The world doesn't want strict. It doesn't want rules and regulations. It wants leniency. It wants to be able to do what I want to do, you know, without being told no. And if that means I can do this and I can go over here and get what I want, then that's fine. If I can read this Bible that's very lenient and, you know, then that's what I want. You know, or this religion that will allow me to do things. But it's all of the world and it's what people want. Verse 6, we Christians, believers, are of God. God who knows, or he who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of the truth and the spirit of error.
That's the most important part of that verse, in my opinion. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. We have to examine the scriptures to find out what the spirit of truth is. If we fail to
right. Yeah, and that's what I keep saying over and over and over again, and I hope you don't see it as a broken record, is that we need to read the scriptures. We need to know the truth. We need to know what it is that God is telling us that we need to do. Yes, ma'am?
Is it saying that somebody that has not been baptized, God does not hear them?
What do you think? Right.
And that intercedes for us.
Right.
So, no.
Okay.
Am I right?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think so.
Okay.
Okay.
I think God hears us if we're looking for the truth, and he will give us the answer.
Yeah. Right.
Because if you're not a Christian, you don't know, and if you want to know,
Okay. Yeah, the sinner's prayers, yeah. But by this we will know the Spirit and the spirit of error. So again, by reading the scriptures, by knowing God's word, by knowing the truth, we can differentiate between the truth and error, between good and evil, between God and the devil. Okay? Yes. And again, you get that knowledge by reading. Okay. And you bring up a good point. Not directly, but made me think of it. Do we know all the scriptures? Do we know where all the scriptures are located, book, chapter, and verse? No, we don't. Okay. But do we know how to find?
Yes.
Okay. That to me is a key point. I've known people who know a lot of scriptures and can recite a lot of scriptures. Okay, they just have that mind for it. I've never been one to be able to do that, but I know enough about the scriptures, being raised in the church my whole life. Okay, I can remember, you know, parts of it, but knowing how to find that through research. Used to be, I mean, we had a book, you know, it was bigger than this piece of paper, the Young's Analytical Complete Concordance of the Bible, and it listed every single word found in the Bible. So if you looked up the word and, A-N-D, it would list every single scripture that had that word and listed in it, okay? So that wouldn't help. You know, okay, the word's and in there, and you got 1,000 ands, you know, so you'd have to remember one of the words more closely, you know, that narrows it down, you know, like say if it was prayer, well, you know, it wasn't in the Old Testament, so you can not look in those, and then just look in the ones, well, maybe it's not going to be in the book Gospels, so you could break it down from that, and finally, it would just give maybe 5 words with that prayer listed in it. And so you try to find it. Okay, here, I think this is it. And then you did a lot of research. Okay. When I graduated high school, and I was headed up to Alabama Christian College, the church that I attended, Iterated Point Church of Christ, gave me Young's Analytical Concordance, and I still have it, because that was the only way we had to research back then, you know. And so you had to know a part of that scripture to be able to find it. Today, the computer. I've got 2 that I use, Bible Hub and Bible Gateway. And I can go, the Bible Hub is really great because it's got a lot of information that you can search by. And I'll do it, you know, typing and go into the, type in the verse and then go to comment, which is for commentaries. And then it will list a dozen commentaries and their comments on that verse. But again, like I've mentioned before, you take that worth a grain of salt, because a lot of them, they go into the Greek and the Hebrew, and it's a lot of different stuff. They give their theory. It's one little verse, Jesus wept, and there's a paragraph this long on what that means, you know. And a lot of it doesn't make sense. A lot of it is often left field. You know, so you've got to, again, know the truth to be able to go through that to find what it is that you're looking for. But it's a great tool, you know, to help you find it. Or, and again, if you know a piece of a verse and you type that in and search, it's going to spit out, you know, all the scriptures. And then you can go through and it'll have their verse, not just a couple of words. And then you can go down through there and find the verse you're looking for. And I use that all the time in doing my lessons and the class material and everything else, because it's easier to find than my big concordance, you know. Yeah.
It's my name's topical Bible and all these. I still like using those for research.
Right.
Because I kind of remember, I kind of hear my mom talking to me right now. You're not using a calculator.
The long way, yeah.
The long way, because if you don't know how to do it the long way, the short way is not going to make any sense when you got your answer.
Right.
You're going to get an answer, but you got to know how you got the answer. Yes.
Yep. But again, you know the Spirit, you know the truth by researching and knowing the truth. And again, hopefully everybody, if you need any help on how to use that information, you know, to research it, let me know, and I'll be glad to show you. But it's important that we know the truth and how to find the truth, you know.
It's going to be crucial with other people who call themselves Christians, because many will call them the name of the Lord.
Yes. Right.
So we've got to be here with each other. We have to know our scripture. We have to talk to each other and communicate. And when we see someone possibly being mistaken, or we ourselves possibly being mistaken, then we have to go.
Right. And that's one thing I've always said when I've studied with people, you know, if I say something wrong, or, you know, or if I'm wrong in what I'm thinking, or, you know, what I believe, let me know. Because I want to know, do the truth, you know? And so if I've misinterpreted this for years, I want to know it because I want to do what's right, because I want to go to heaven, you know?
How many churches of Christ have walked away from teaching? I know some entire
yes.
Here.
Yeah.
There's been some that we've met in Alaska that walked away from church.
Yes. Yeah, and there's more and more, unfortunately, that are steering away from Scripture. And again, it's because they're wanting to do what they want, not what it is God wants. Okay? And unfortunately, I know several churches through history that have veered from the truth. They have split, you know, because, yeah, whatever. But it's happening.
Can I read one Scripture?
You may, sir. Right. Yeah, we've got to worship in the truth, and it's not our truth, it's God's truth. It's not what I want, it's what God wants.
Right.
And we must be willing to do that. And I see it a trend, more and more people, more and more churches are pulling away from that truth, God's truth, the biblical truth, and doing what they want.
And then the people, you know, are saying, you know, hey, we know Moses, but who's this guy? We don't know who this guy is. And he's telling them, hey, why, do you want to become his disciple too? You know, I've told you once, you know, he came and he healed me, you know. Well, then after that, he says, we know, in verse 31, we know that God does not listen. The King James says, God does not hear sinners. So people take that as oh, he doesn't hear a sinner's prayer, you know. But in fact, the actual word there is listens to sinners, because God is omniscient. He hears and sees everything.
Mm-hmm.
So it says, we know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Think of it as talking and you can hear them, but you're ignoring them. You know, you're not going to do what they say or
right.
Do their request or anything, because you don't, for whatever reason. This is what God does to sinners. In Psalm 66, he says, if I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. And then in Proverbs 28, he says, if one turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. So we see by these scriptures that God hears, but he doesn't listen to them. So that's what is
Thank you. You made me think. I had a thought when Anna was talking, then I lost it, and you just made me think of it again. You know, I hope it doesn't bore you. I keep bringing up Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says, Jesus speaking, Lord, Lord, is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of my Father. You know, there's a lot of people out there worshiping God. There's a lot of people out there saying, Lord, Lord. There's a lot of people out there doing things in God's name, but they're not doing exactly God's will. Okay? They're not doing exactly what it is that God wants. And so they can do all they want, show all they want, say, Lord, Lord, all they want, but they're not going to enter heaven because they are not doing God's will. And he goes on and explains, well, Lord, when we, you know, when did we see you naked? When, you know, when all these things, and he explains it. But that's the, and I keep saying it over and over again because it's so true and it's so, you know, we need to understand it. Yes, at some point he is going to hear what they have to say.
Doesn't mean God agrees with what they
right.
are saying, but it means that he will hear it.
Right, you know, you're a sinner, you've sinned, you're a Christian, and you've sinned, and you've fallen short, but yet you go to God in prayer, you know, asking for forgiveness, he's going to hear you. Right.
Yeah.
And we've read scriptures and everything and all that deals with the heart. You know, it comes from the heart, where your heart is, where your heart is hardened, where your heart is opened. And again, I cannot say specifically what God's going to listen to, what he's not, who he's going to listen to and who he's not.
Right.
You know, what that point is. It's all speculation. You know, that's up to God, you know, and who he wants to hear and what he wants to hear. And how he's going to react and respond, and you know, it's in his time and everything else.
He hears everything, but only Christians have the ability to stand before the throne of God as Jesus Christ is our mediator and talk to God. The Ethiopian eunuch went, and Philip saw him, and he sees him, he's reading, and from the scriptures we know that he's reading from Isaiah. And what does he ask him? Do you understand what you're reading? He says, How can I?
No.
They don't pray their way to heaven, and God doesn't go, well, you've got a good heart. There's lots of good people with good hearts, lots of good people with good hearts and good intentions. But if they don't love the truth and they don't do his will, God doesn't listen to them.
Right.
And we need to help those people. If you know somebody who is in that situation and they are seeking truth, you need to guide them to truth. Somebody with a good heart that, you know, that, well, God will listen to their prayers, but he won't listen to that prayer because his heart isn't, you know, quite right or something. We know that the heart
Right. Yeah, and we don't know the eunuch's background. We do know that he had a scroll of Isaiah, and that's what he was reading, okay? But like you said, he also knew the teachings of Jesus, okay? And that has what had sent him back, so he was a scholar of some sort and knew the truth, but and knew enough to question. And so whenever, you know, Philip showed up and asked him what was going on, hey, I don't know, who, you know, what does this mean? And we don't know what Philip told him, but it was enough to where, and maybe he hadn't known the truth and, you know, Philip shared it with him, but he knew enough that, look, here's water. What's stopping me from being baptized?
He knew he had to be baptized
to be saved.
Whatever Philip told him, he knew he had to be baptized to be saved.
Yeah, and he wanted to do it right then and there. And he was. He was baptized and he was saved. Yeah.
Yep.
And so while he was in Jerusalem, he must have heard some things about Jesus.
Could have. Like I said, I think he knew something, and that's what was getting him to, you know, to study, and he knew enough to listen to Philip and understand what Philip was saying, and he touched his heart enough. The seed was planted. And, you know, Philip watered it and watered him and saved him, you know, and that's what it takes. We might not do everything, you know, get somebody, teach them and baptize them and study with them. You might be, you know, they might have heard it from somebody else at some other point. And, you know, I remember my grandmother talking to me about that, you know, and I want to know more, you know, and that's where you step in and you share, okay? So don't think that you're the one that's, you know, going to do everything. You can pick it up, you know.
How do you know when they're ready, though, to listen to you? Because sometimes they come in like they want to hear it, and then sometimes they come in like, I don't want to listen to you.
Yeah, you don't know, and you do what you can, because I've been in all those situations when I was doing the door-knocking campaign. And there's somebody, you know, you share the gospel with, it's like, no, I don't want to do it. They won't even open the door, you know, or you go in and you talk to them and they're not interested, you know, and it's like, okay, but you always, always, always leave the door open. Here's my card. Here's my number. Here's my information. If you have any questions, call me. Never shut the door. Okay. Always leave the door open.
And
Yeah.
You know, so I try and explain that to him, and he's like, oh, okay, yeah. And he's like, oh, so I'm just the unlucky one. And I'm like, no, you're the lucky one, you know. You're the lucky one, perhaps, you know. And
yeah.
So I'm trying to explain these things to him, but it's just the, you know, he comes to me and asks me these things, and
yeah.
But, you know, so I don't really know how to take it, but he is seeking something. And then he says, he's asked me, you know, hey, I was reading in so-and-so, and he's been reading the Bible, you know.
Wow.
So I don't know, yeah, so I don't know if it's this girl or what, but then he asked me, hey, what does this mean, you know. And then we'll talk about it a little bit, you know, and the other guys will come to break the room, and then he'll clam up, and, you know, and we'll talk. And then, so it's just interesting. There are people out there who, you know, are seeking, and if you're fortunate enough to find one to help, well, then, you know, that's what we do.
Right. Yeah, and you just have to play it by ear in those kind of situations, you know, and find out how interested they are and what they want to know, and go with that. And at some point, you just say, you know, do you want to do a Bible study? You know, and you do it. But you try to help them and keep them going. But again, you never ever shut the door, because once you shut the door, it's over with. Jack?
It always has to go back to the Word of God.
Yes.
When you're trying to teach someone, if you're trying to depend on something else, it doesn't work.
Yep.
But John 8, verse 31 says, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And in verse 51 of the same chapter, it says, truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. So it goes back to the Word of God. You can't teach someone without the Word of God.
Right. And, well, we made it through 6 verses this morning. Oh, that's great. So we'll pick up there next week. Thank you for all your comments.